Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And joining us right now on that Fan Hotline is one of the few Steelers beat writers who weren't out on the town last night. That's Ray Fittipaldo. He's brought to you by the Western PA injury attorneys, Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. I guess I should also be clear, Jeff Hathorn not pictured.
True.
Jeff Hathorn, a hard worker. Jeff Hathorn making the story about the team, not himself, not out there partying his face off, and Ray's a professional himself, too. Ray, thank you for joining us. Good morning, buddy. Bummer, yesterday's first day in pads didn't go according to plan. Were you guys allowed into the gymnasium?
No, we were not. You know, back in the day, Adam, they would, like, cram us into this little corner. We couldn't move much, but we could watch what was going on. We can't do that anymore. But the interesting thing was we did get to see pre-practice yesterday. Wasn't a whole lot to glean, but they did have Calvin Anderson out there with the first team at left tackle. Dylan Cook was there on Sunday. So I guess those guys are going to go back and forth. But the good news, obviously, is Broderick Jones, Mike Tomlin said yesterday, is going to be back today. So first day in pads, important for Broderick Jones to be out there if he's healthy, and a lot of eyes are going to be on him.
Ray, Peyton Wilson, he spoke to the media yesterday. He had comments saying that the communication on defense has been better so far this year. Do you think that was a shot at last year's kind of regime, or a shot at Minkah Fitzpatrick, who was really the general of the defense last year?
No, I don't necessarily. I didn't necessarily view it as a shot at anyone. I think it was just acknowledgement, Doran, that they did have a lot of issues late last season, and whether it was Minkah or, you know, Cam Sutton or whoever else wasn't doing their job. I just think, you know, Peyton was just saying, yeah, hey, that was last year. This year we're in a much better place. And you could see it. I mean, I know it was acclimation practices and, you know, the real football starts today, but the secondary looked really good. There were a few things they had a hard time sorting out. They got burned twice in seven shots on Sunday where, you know, they couldn't account for a running back in the flat or a tight end in the flat. And they scored, you know, right by the pylon. But other than that, those receivers and tight ends are getting covered up. And guys like Jalen Ramsey, Joey Porter, you know, Darius Lay, all those guys look really good.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. So Broderick Jones is expected to be back today, according to Mike Tomlin. How has Broderick looked through 4 days of unpadded practice through your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, guys, I really hesitate to, like, make sweeping judgments based on unpadded practices, especially for linemen. I really want to judge those guys on what they do today and, you know, from here on out. But Broderick didn't look great. You know, there were a few instances where, you know, he was beaten for sacks. And maybe those outside linebackers have an advantage when you're not in pads. I get it. But when I said all eyes are going to be on Broderick this week, I meant it. A lot of people want to see what that guy is going to look like on the left side. Last time we saw him on the right side, it wasn't great, especially late in the season. I forget the exact number, but I want to say he gave up double-digit sacks last year. So obviously you can't do that this year protecting Aaron Rodgers' blind side. He's got to be much better.
I feel like my grandma asking me this question at the dinner table because she would do this all the time, but does he look underweight?
He looks much – I don't want to say much better. He looks different. He is definitely slimmed down, and we'll see how he responds to that. You know, the one thing is, yeah, you can say, okay, I'm going to drop weight. I'm going to be able to move better. I'm going to be able to, you know, kick slide and get to my spot better. That's all well and good. But when somebody wants to get their hands inside on you and bull rush you, you better be able to sink your hips and be able to handle that and withstand that. So we haven't seen that yet, obviously. We'll probably see that this week. If he did drop 25 to 30 pounds, it's going to be interesting to see how he handles those bigger edge rushers. But, you know, obviously a lot of those guys are like TJ and they're speed guys. And, you know, he wanted to be prepared for that. But he does look different, and we'll watch and see if the drop in weight is a benefit for him.
Right, clearly today is the first day you could see the physicality, and like you just mentioned, of the offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, things of that nature, running backs. But one thing that you can see in those first 4 days is natural speed, pure speed. Does Caleb Johnson look like he has that pure speed that the Steelers have been lacking and missing for the last couple of years?
Yeah, that football speed that Mike Tomlin and the other coaches talked about on draft night. You know, they kind of poo-pooed like the 4.55 40 that he ran at the combine. They were like, yeah, if you watch this guy, he doesn't run like that on the football field. So you could see that. He's quick through the hole. He accelerates through the hole. We'll see what it looks like in pads today, where they're probably going to be tackling to the ground. If not today, they'll be tackling to the ground at least one day this week. So we'll see what he looks like there. But he's the one guy where, you know, you just talk to people around the team up at practice. Almost to a man, they are excited about this guy. They're excited about a lot of guys. You'll hear them talk about Derek Harmon, but everyone in that building is hopeful that Caleb Johnson is that type of a guy. So got him in the third round, but there's a lot of expectations that he could be their so-called bell cow guy, for the next few years.
We've seen the video. We're reading everything we can. We're talking to guys like you. It sounds like, by all accounts, Aaron Rodgers is actually moving around out there better than expected. Is that what you're seeing too?
Yeah, he play broke down on Sunday, and he probably had 4 or 5 yards to get to the first down marker, and he probably wouldn't have made it, but he made a sprint there, and he actually looked pretty good. So he's obviously 41. He's going to pick and choose his spots, but yeah, listen, on 3rd and 2, if he has to get 2.5, 3 yards, he's capable of doing that. But the big thing, guys, is they got to protect him. And Troy Faiatano is back, that's good, but they got to do a much better job of protecting him, the quarterbacks, this year compared to what they did last year.
Ray, Juan Thornhill, if you look at this defense, it doesn't seem like there's a weak link. But if there were to be a weak link, we probably would say it'd be Juan Thornhill. Does he look like he belongs? Does he look like he can be the starter this year and them not miss a beat on defense at free safety?
Yeah, I'll say this. He didn't look out of place in the first week. And, the coaches are going to have a much better gauge on what he's doing right and what he's doing wrong. But he was making some plays out there. Now, they did bring in Chuck Clark, and Chuck Clark is a veteran who has experience at that position. So, I think that's good. Competition makes everyone better. So we'll see if Thornhill is the guy standing at the end of camp. Maybe Clark is the guy, or, hey, maybe they got to go out and get somebody else. But, after the first four practices, Doran, he didn't look out of place. I thought he made some plays, and he actually looked pretty good.
We know that they're moving Ramsey around a bit. You're seeing the same thing at a T.J. Watt, that they're not just saying they're going to move him, but we're actually seeing a little bit of that right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Flipping sides, depending on the day. I think it was Saturday he came out for 7 shots, and he was on the right side. So they're going to experiment like that. He's probably going to drop a little bit more in camp than you've ever seen him before. And I think I mentioned this to you guys last week, if not on your show, then probably with Pony and Chris. With their ability to play man outside now, that's going to open up a whole heck of a lot for, like, backers dropping into coverage, maybe trying to fool quarterbacks, and maybe trying to get some easy turnovers that way. They really couldn't do that when they were playing so much zone. It was pretty much, okay, here's our 4 rushers. We're going to rush. We're going to try to play zone or man behind them. But when you have guys who can cover, that opens up a lot of your blitz packages. And I think we're going to see some different tweaks and some different things we haven't seen in the past from TJ and all of those outside linebackers.
Ray, you could kind of get an inkling right now. Like, we know that they haven't been in pads yet, but you kind of get an inkling and a feel of what guys are doing, how they're moving, how they're communicating. Clearly, what Peyton Wilson said yesterday, whenever the Steelers break camp and get ready and prepared for the first week of the season, who, in your opinion, as of right now, will be the strongest unit going into the season this year?
Undoubtedly. I mean, after 1 week, undoubtedly the defense. They are ahead of the offense. I think Jalen Ramsey, I know it's been talked about a lot for the last week or so, but he just brings a different dynamic to that defense. You know, he's out there making plays. He's covering people up. You know, like people said, well, Aaron Rodgers struggled for the first few practices. Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. Guys aren't open, and, you know, the offense has to catch up a little bit. So I fully expect this defense to be in the range of, you know, I know they slipped a little bit at the end of last year, but I'd venture to say definitely a top 10 defense if everyone stays healthy. And if guys like Ramsey play well, this defense has a chance to be even better than top 10.
Defensive line depth would be an area of concern, I think, Ray, and I'm sure through 4 days of unpadded practice you're not gleaning a lot, but are there guys you have hope for behind the three starters? And Derek Harmon, we know, is going to be a starter this year on the unit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to see Derek. You know, there's been a lot of talk about him really providing some juice as an interior pass rusher. And, you know, we didn't see a whole heck of a lot the last couple of years from Larry Ogunjobi in that regard. So I'm looking forward to that. But in terms of guys behind him, Adam, I don't know. Equale, you know, Loudermilk, I hesitate to say they're just guys, but, you know, they have to prove something. Leal's coming back from an injury. I guess if there's one guy among that group that I don't know as well, it would be Equale. So maybe Equale does really well, and he's like your solid number four or number five. But beyond that, I think they're just going to try to mix and match and see who's hot throughout the season.
Ray, any telling signs of the camaraderie between Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith?
Yeah, you know, you watch them interact on the practice field, and you know, Aaron has a good sense of humor, and we all know Art. I mean, you know him, Dorn. He's got that wry sense of humor, so I think they get along in that regard. You know what Mike Tallman said, I think, on the first day. You know, Aaron's a workaholic, so I'm sure behind the scenes as well. You know, they're watching that practice film, and they're saying, okay, how can we do this better? Let's attack this better. So I'm sure by the time September gets here, they'll be much more comfortable with each other, you know, in the film room and drawing up plays. But yeah, I think there's hope in that regard that those guys will get along much better than Arthur and Russell Wilson did last season.
DK Metcalf has advertised, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, that guy can run. I wouldn't say he's looked great, but I think that's probably a product of maybe the offense not being great around him, if you know what I mean. But, yeah, he's fast. He's big. He laid out for a ball on the sidelines the other day that Joey Porter broke up. So that's the one thing we didn't see. I thought we might see a little bit more of that the first week. We didn't see a lot of deep balls to DK Metcalf. We saw some deep balls to some other guys, but we really didn't see DK go deep. So maybe that's in store today for the first team period.
And wide receiver too, Ray. Any new information to pass along there? Anybody standing out to you?
Calvin Austin is the guy for now. You know, Roman Wilson, you know, he's looked okay. Robert Woods has looked okay. But, like, when I tell you those guys are getting covered up, there's not a lot of room in that secondary. Maybe that does speak to maybe the relative you know, weakness of the group on the whole, but we'll see what happens, you know, later on this week. But I think right now, you know, if you had to go into the season, Calvin Austin would be pretty entrenched as your number two guy.
And finally, Ray, you have been present for hundreds of Mike Tomlin press conferences, small media gatherings, so you can generally look beyond the words that are coming out of Tomlin's mouth. How do you think he feels about the Seumalo injury, and how serious do you glean that this thing is?
Yeah, I mean, I asked him about it yesterday, and he basically told us the same thing he told us on report day. He just doesn't want to give us a lot of information about it. So
great.
Listen, I think the longer this goes, the more it becomes a concern. You know, he had the pec injury last year. I mean, Mike wouldn't even tell us what the soft tissue injury is. Maybe it's the pec again. Maybe it's something lower body. But, I mean, Isaac hasn't even been out there for stretching or anything like that. So I think we're probably a ways away from seeing him out there.
Awesome. Ray, this was very good, comprehensive. We squeezed a lot into a little bit of time there. So appreciate your time, and we will talk to you next week with a bigger body of work to discuss.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you.
Stay ahead of that Doppler. That's Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We asked Ray a million questions there, and he kept finding a way to bring it back to something that I want to dig in on a little bit coming up next. It is a day before Major League Baseball's trade deadline as well. John Wehner going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Should anything break that is relevant to the Pirates, where the Pirates make any moves, we'll bring them to you right here. We'll react to Ray Fittipaldo in a couple of moments. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Pitt football reported yesterday. Fall camp getting going. West Virginia reporting today. Penn State here in the near future. And it's funny because we look forward to nothing more than football season.
Uh-huh.
And weekends in the summer are great. I'm going to sit out, barbecue, have a couple of pops, cut your grass, you have a pop, all kind of fun family and friends activities. You're outside with the kids. I probably should have listed all those in reverse order. And then in the fall, my happiness on Saturday and Sunday all comes down to whether my team wins or not.
Yeah, you really let that affect you, huh?
Oh, yeah.
To this day, 34 years old.
I'm a child when it comes to the football.
Man.
You only got 12 ball games in college football, hopefully more if your team's good, and you got 17 of them in the NFL. The Steelers don't affect it as much because it's so intertwined, obviously, with our livelihood that if they lose, we'll have a great show. I want them to win. It's better if they win, but if they lose, we have content. College football, though, now my team loses. It takes me a sleep to get over that.
Well, you should be pretty excited this year because of just so much that's new with
sure.
your team. Like, I mean, that makes things exciting whenever there is, you know, newness and, you know, the old regime that kind of went stale. We've all been in situations like that where you're either working for somebody or rooting for something that, you know, an old regime goes stale and then you have new. Like, even with the Penguins, like, I don't know how many Pittsburgh Penguins fans are excited about this year, but you're excited about the unknown.
There's an intrigue factor.
An intrigue. There, that's the word. Like, I bet you're very, very intrigued this year to see. You just tweeted 70 new players on West Virginia, and Rich Rodriguez is back. So, got to have a little bit of an old feeling, but a new feeling as well to see how this is all going to work out. That makes it probably exciting for you, but also your mind is probably fried.
Well, it's goofy, man, because 3 p.m. on a summer Saturday, I think most of the time I'm just happy. 3 p.m. on a fall Saturday, don't know. And you're yelling at the TV and the blood pressure's going up. There's nothing like it. We all love it. People who are listening right now, you love sports. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. But we're so happy. And then all of a sudden, this thing that we have cared about but not thought about as much over the course of most of the year, now it's the thing that in that particular moment is controlling our happiness. It's always goofy to me.
In 3.5 hours worth. Like, you only get like a small sample size, really. If you look at the days and how many hours are in a day, you only get 3.5 hours to see what the fate is going to be of that day and your team.
That's why people listen to this show in the numbers that people do, because you've got 17 Steelers games. There's 365 days of the year. There's 17 days. That's it of the year where you get to watch your favorite team play football.
Man,
that you are guaranteed. Because they have preseason. So 20, and if you're lucky, a little bit more than that. Out of 365 days, we get all worked up about it. Ray kept coming back to the same thing. We talk about defensive backs. We talk about Rodgers. I asked about DK Metcalf. And he kept coming back to nobody's getting open. And look, when you get Ramsey and Slay and you have Joey Porter Jr., you want to hear that about them. But also when you have as many questions about this receiver core as you do, you don't want to hear that about the receiving core. And so I'm not sure what to make of it. And it's still early. But he kept bringing it back to that. Nobody's getting open.
He did keep bringing it back to that. And I think it's a positive because of what else, you know, what the other things that we've heard, that they've barely thrown a ball over 25 yards.
Good point.
You know, so they're working on some underneath things right now. They're working on little routes and things of that nature. They're not really trying to, you know, work on those explosive big plays on offense. I'm sure whenever those develop and those get put in, things will be a little bit different. Defenses, you know, the defense will back off a little bit and defense will change. So this is more for the defense to look good. We all know that, that follow football early on. Whenever, you know, training camp starts, the defense always does look good. But it's still a positive that the defense is doing what they need to do.
So it'd be worse if it was in reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have the first 4 days, 3 days, that you're going out there and you're lighting the defense up, you barely have anything installed. You have like the most generic plays installed. You don't have anything. You're not even preparing for what defense you're going to see. You're just running offensive plays to just try to get everybody's feet wet. So, I think it's encouraging to hear like Jalen Ramsey and those guys and Joey Porter Jr., Darius Slay, Deshaun Elliott, you know, even Peyton Wilson and Patrick Queen. Those guys are locking guys down because they should right now. There's not that many plays that are installed that are explosive plays.
Yeah, if Calvin Austin's going out there and he's just lighting up Darius Slay.
It's no good.
That's no good.
No.
Okay, good. He kept bringing it back to that.
He did.
We don't need to freak
and
out.
And I was like wondering, like, is that one-on-ones too? Like, is that seven-on-seven? Like, is it just, you know, or is it like, you know, there's nobody getting open at all? Like, at all.
At all. And he even said DK Metcalf's not playing.
I mean, I haven't seen a clip of DK Metcalf. I've seen like one clip of him. Like,
they had that back shoulder in the end zone where Tomlin was basically, I mean, he's grinning from ear to ear, talking about how we're not going to strike up the band, but that's what I've been envisioning all summer. Apart from that, they just haven't been on the same page, which again, it's early times yet.
I mean, think about how many reps that the ones really do get at this period. I mean, you're seeing a lot of Will Howard. You're seeing Skylar Thompson.
Yeah.
You're seeing Mason Rudolph. Like, that all counts, too, of, like, them not getting open.
That's true. And even the sexiest drill that they do, which they start with seven shots, Rodgers is going to be out there for four snaps.
Right.
At most.
Right. Could be a running play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's going to be some contact today, though. You go up St. Vincent College. It's going to be a hot one. But you'll probably see some goal line drills. You'll definitely see the seven shots. And then the first team, 11 on 11, they'll have the run period, and it's just banging bodies.
Oh, man.
You're happy not to be out there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Missed the checks, but I'm happy not to do it.
Ah, they pay you handsomely to sit here next to me all day,
mm-hmm.
every day.
Sure.
Man, life comes at you fast.
Quick. Quick.
All right, coming up next, John Wehner is going to join us. It's the day before the day. It is trade deadline eve, and meanwhile, the Pirates have won 7 of their last 8 games, remarkably, after getting blown at by the White Sox in a 3-game set. We'll talk to Wehner about all those things when we come back. It is trade deadline eve, and we are joined right now by our guy, John Wehner. John, how you doing today? Thanks for joining us on the program.
Well, I'll just get the day started. We're doing good.
John, are you out there on the West Coast?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, don't you guys watch?
Last night, John, I don't even need truth here. Yeah, we ain't watching that. John, we count on you to tell us what happened.
All right. Well, I'm here. I'm ready. I was excited.
It's 5:37 in the morning.
It's 5:20.
Yeah. yeah, my bad. I forgot.
Funny. You guys, John, are funny. What I was in L.A., same thing in L.A. I'm like, well, they did it to me in L.A. I know they're going to do it to me here.
John, were you worried yesterday about like a tsunami coming in? Like, in all seriousness,
No, I was not.
Okay.
No, I was not. I was worried about not waking up for this great show of yours.
All right, John. So, Barucki gets called up. He doesn't pitch yesterday. Ashcraft was outstanding again, and he has been in the bullpen. Just wonderful for this team. He goes 3 innings last night. At least that's what the box score tells me. You can confirm if that's actually the truth because, you know, you were there. So, look, we don't know who's going to get moved. I'm guessing that nobody's told you who's going to get moved. But if Barucki's called up, he's not even upgraded to the roster. He was throwing a side session. I think we can all connect some dots. You're going to be losing a bullpen arm. Let's just say they do trade. Santana, Bednar, and you've got Ashcraft, you've got Majinski, you've got Mattson, who's been really good. Do you think they could still have a good bullpen going into next year if they subtract a couple of pieces to add to the hitting side of things?
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, I think bullpen arms, you know, there's a lot of turnover. There's a lot of guys that come and go. I'd hate to see it. I'd hate to see Bednar and Santana in particular. Santana has been outstanding and still got some years of control. And Bednar, I mean, I don't think anybody's pitching better out of the bullpen than Bednar the last 2 months. And I think it would break his heart. On top of that, I mean, he obviously loves it in Pittsburgh. There's nothing like playing in your hometown. But, yeah, I think you could still please. There's a lot of arms here. There's a lot of arms, down in AAA and even below that. You know, I mean, I don't know how many guys could have guys like Dowry Moretta and Colin Holderman. I mean, we got some guys that have done some good things at the big league level that are in AAA. So it'll be interesting to see, what happens there. I'd hate to see those two go back end.
John, if Mitch Keller is traded, do you think it'll be a circumstance where he's only traded if they get a major league bat in return? Do you think that that's the circumstance surrounding Mitch Keller at this point?
I hope so. I mean, that would be the reason to do it. I mean, if you're looking for improvement, and offensively is obviously where the improvement is needed, and you're giving up a quality big league pitcher, you'd hope that you'd get a quality major league bat in return, or somebody that's maybe blocked somewhere that they're certain is going to hit at the big league level. I mean, this team's a few bats away from being really, really good, and it'll be interesting, obviously, to get add bats now, maybe in the off season. And I think with Mitch Keller, what he's making now and what he's due to make the next couple of years, if you get a major league bat now, you have money to get another major league bat or two in the off season as well. I think the question there is, you look around baseball, there aren't many very deep teams offensively. And if you're in the playoff race and you're looking for pitching, are you giving up hitting if you don't have a ton of it? I don't know how many teams are loaded with offensive players with extra bats. So that's the question I have there. But I don't want to see prospects that are 2, 3, 4 years away. This team needs to get better soon, especially for next year with the pitching staff we have. And I would really hope that, if Keller goes, it's for offense, it's going to help us sooner than later.
Totally with you on that. John Wehner joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Leiver Peguero hits an absolute nuke off of Justin Verlander last night. I'm guessing here, but if IKF gets moved, and I think all signs point to that probably happening, you think you get a steady look at him at shortstop, and what do you think he could bring? What do you think he could be?
That's interesting because he's kind of a forgotten guy.
Yeah.
He's still only 24 years old. We saw him at a very young age, and he showed that he had some pop, and, he had his struggles as well. I'm 5:30 in the morning. I'm trying to think of names.
Tired, John. Why?
Simon, who we got in the Miami trade, I know he's played a lot of second. I'm not sure about short.
And you got the guy that you got in the Frazier deal.
Frazier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you'd want to see what those guys could do as well. But yeah, Peguero, he got 24, and he has struggled. And for whatever reason, hasn't gotten much playing time up here. Yeah, you got to find out what you have at that position, outside IKF. So I would assume he's getting traded, and I don't know. I'd love to see a guy get an opportunity to go out there and play. I don't know who that is. Like I said, Simon, the guy they got for Frazier, who I can't think of right now, or Peguero. I don't know who that would be. I'm sure they have a plan if they're going to trade him, IKF, that is. And yeah, we got to figure that one out.
John, Quinn Priester since May 30th is 9-0 with a 2.60 ERA. Did you see that coming?
You know, I saw talent there with him. Yeah, I didn't know 9-0. I didn't know, especially in Milwaukee, where there's that little ballpark where the ball tends to fly. I didn't see this kind. I thought he'd be a good major league pitcher. I mean, I thought he had a chance to be a good major league pitcher. I didn't think it would happen this fast or be this good. You know, a great kid, got a good fastball with some sink, a couple of good breaking balls. You know, some guys take it. I mean, look how long it took Mitch Keller to figure it out. He really struggled for a couple of years. So sometimes that happens. And when you have a good athlete, Mitch Keller is a great athlete. He figured it out. Quinn Priester is a great athlete. And you know, you just, some guys take a little longer to figure it out. And, boy, he seems like he's figured it out. Every time I look over, you know, the box score, he's throwing up zeros.
John, we appreciate your dedication to making the show better. You have done that this morning. Do you tuck yourself back in, or are you now up for the rest of the day?
Oh, I'm hoping to get to sleep till 8. That would be wonderful. But who knows? I'm not much of a sleeper. Yeah, at least I'm going to try. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to try. You know, I wouldn't have missed this for the world, of course. And I'm just glad we got to spend this time together.
John, if you want to fall asleep, Starkey comes on after us. Why did I do that?
I didn't have.
We love Joe. It was just it was too easy.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, well, that's not very nice.
Thank you,
that's
Wayne.
Not very nice. But, yeah, we'll talk to you guys later. Appreciate
talk
you.
Talk to you next week.
Always.
Appreciate you. You're the man. John Wehner, what a guy. What an oversight. I totally forgot.
So did I.
Probably didn't need to call him.
No.
Oh, well, it was good.
He was up. He was ready to go.
He said the team is a few bats away from being really, really good. I do agree with that. Best route to get those bats, probably parting with guys that you wouldn't regularly like to part from. All right, coming up next, there's a storyline with each and every AFC North team right now that we should hit on. Doug Whaley going to join us at 9 o'clock. That's on the way. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Doug Whaley to join us from 9 o'clock until 10. Going around the NFL right now. Oh, yeah. Love this time of the year. Tomorrow, Hall of Fame game.
Sure is.
Trey Lance starting for the Chargers.
Yep.
They have another backup quarterback that I liked. We were just looking at the rosters today. I think I might bet on them to win the first quarter.
Is it a known backup or is it?
Yeah, but now I forget. Whenever I need it most, I forget it. But I am looking forward to betting on the first quarter and the first half of the Hall of Fame game. While you look that up, storylines abound in the AFC North. The biggest one, Trey Hendrickson. He's ending his holdout. He'll be at Bengals camp today.
Oh, really?
Has not signed a deal. Probably tired of getting hit in the pocketbook for $50,000 a day. So he's coming back. He says, or at least it's been reported, that the thought process there is that he wants to put this contract negotiation in good faith moving forward.
Huh.
So I had thought he was a holdout candidate because of how cheap they are in Cincinnati.
Seemed nasty.
Nasty?
Yeah.
He led the league in sacks last year. You might not want to pay him more than Watt. He probably doesn't deserve more than Watt. He hasn't had the career Watt has or Garrett has, but he was the better of the three last year, at least according to sacks. Pay him somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, you don't want to pay him 40. Pay him 35.
Right.
Get it done. Give him guaranteed money. So he's back, and good for him, maybe. He's probably going to get paid eventually. Bad for the Steelers.
Yeah, yeah. Taylor Heinicke is the guy.
Oh, dude, I'm betting on Taylor Heinicke tomorrow. Yeah. Trey Lance comes out, veteran Heinicke. He goes in there.
All over rushing yards for quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, we got to look at those. We got to break that down more in depth tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We'll do that tomorrow. We'll do a quiz callus tomorrow. Bostic will be with us. Trade deadline day. Big show tomorrow. Big show today. Doug Whaley, 9 o'clock until 10. All right, so that's the Bengals. The Browns lose one of their starting corners they had high hopes for the season. Martin Emerson Jr., torn Achilles, out for the year.
Saw that, yep.
That has to make you sick.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Browns just can't, they can't buy a bucket right now. They got the whole running back situation. You know, Kenny's day-to-day, I guess, and, you know, you're rolling with Joe Flacco right now, so then you lose your top corner, or one of your top corners, so... that's the Browns.
I feel bad for any guy who gets hurt whenever, but like certainly right now. Like you gear up all off season, and you go into training camp and you get hurt, that blows.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of injuries, the Ravens, Ice Likely. He has a foot fracture. It looked bad. They carted him off. We know how that goes at camp. He could be back by week one, though. They're not thinking it's going to be a long term.
Yeah, whenever you hear fracture, and especially if it's in like an ankle or foot or anything, that's better than, honestly, a sprain, a high ankle sprain, or obviously a tear. So a fracture will heal on its own. You'll be ready to go. He'll be back week one. But I sent that to you last night because, to me, you know, obviously I'm the Achilles connoisseur. Lower leg injury, went down, carted off, or not carted off, but helped off, sounded like an Achilles. So good for him. Good that he's going to be able to play this year, but close call.
Seems like they dodged a massive bullet there.
Yep.
This is the best collection of offensive talent around Lamar Jackson that they've ever had. This is a massive year for them, and if they lost Likely, who really became TE number one for them last season, that would have been a massive deal. So good news for the Ravens, and you don't want a guy to be out for a long time, but if he had been, if he was going to be, that would unfortunately be a positive thing for the Steelers. All right, that's around the NFL. Doug Whaley going to join us for a full hour coming up next. Looking forward to that. It's Wednesday with Whaley. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high at 92. If you're going to Steelers camp, going to be hot. Also, McAfee's going to be there, so it is going to be chaos. Bring your water. Be prepared to be in line. It's going to be a burner.